On this episode of China Unscripted, we sit down with the Traveling Dukes who tell us about the Trump-Kim summit in Vietnam and their adventures in China, including a special encounter with the People's Liberation Army. Hi, welcome to the China Unscripted podcast. I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley John.
And I'm Matt Gnezda.
And welcome back, Shelley. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. And just a reminder, be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes and leave us 5 stars. And joining us now, all the way from Vietnam, are the Traveling Dukes. Say hello, guys.
Hey, guys. What's up, guys? My name's Simon.
And I'm Kurt.
Yeah, I'm with the Traveling Dukes. Yeah, that's right.
Time-traveling tea salesman across Asia.
Yeah, they're currently not selling any tea. Our Chinese AliExpress supplier just took our tea business down overnight, replaced it with bedding supplies.
So no tea for now, but we are making videos alongst our travels.
That's right.
Wait, what?
That's a story right there.
That is a story to begin with, yeah. We've been doing drop shipping of our special Chinese tea.
Yeah, it's called Lohan Guo, or monk fruit, and you can't get it anywhere outside of China.
We were trying
to kind of ship it under the radar for a while. We got kind of shut down.
I mean, I got to say, the only reason I'm having you guys on is because I was trying to get a hookup for that.
Oh, is that right? We can hook you up. We're going to get a new supply in the next couple of weeks. We'll hook you up.
We'll work something out, Chris.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. Though I'm also interested in bedding, depending on the threat count.
Well, I mean, it's good price. It's good price bedding.
Diversify, right?
No, yeah. We were dealing with this AliExpress company for quite a while with the monk fruit going through drop shipping. And just one day, overnight, without warning, she just took down the entire tea supply, just replaced it with bedding supplies. We have no idea why. If you want some bedding supplies, come to us.
The vagaries of the Chinese market.
Exactly.
Very confusing.
Well, it's very market driven, you know.
Yeah. The money's in bedding now. That's where it is.
Embedded in the money. All right. What were we talking about? Oh yeah. What do you guys do?
So we have a YouTube channel, a podcast, and we were recently in Hanoi to cover the Trump Kim summit.
That's right.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear about that. I mean, what was that like?
It was very interesting. The city was brought to life by it. Hanoi, Vietnam, hosted the second ever Trump and Kim peace summit. And the whole city was just buzzing with the atmosphere of it all.
Yeah, all the streets were like lined with Korean, Vietnamese, and American flags, like signs posting up like Hanoi, the city of peace. It was really wild. And like 2 hours into us being there, we were going to a camera shop to get like a new lens, and then all of a sudden, Kim Jong-un stops us. Yeah. We get stuck, and he's rolling right by us, like 10 feet away from us. It was absolutely insane.
Really, Kim Jong-un?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And spitting distance.
But why was he shopping for camera lenses?
You know, he's got to get some.
He's got a camera crew, actually. One of his cars has like North Korean media with two guys with giant camcorders.
Yeah,
like,
just doing a 360.
Yeah, shooting some propaganda videos.
Wow, I hope they don't shoot in a wide angle lens because he's so fat.
I wonder if they're shooting onto like beta tapes or something.
Beta tapes. Yeah. Everything in fisheye lens.
Something's going on. We went to Hanoi in the hopes of catching both the Kim and the Donald Trump motorcades. We thought it would take days to find one. And then like 2 hours into our visit, we just got stopped. Like the whole road was blocked off and Kim sailed by.
Wow. Yeah, did you actually see him?
We saw his car. We also saw his toilet car.
Yeah, we saw his toilet car.
Where he keeps... is it just like an outhouse on...
Oh, so I don't know if you guys are aware. But Kim Jong-un, wherever he goes, travels with two Mercedes. And one of them, apparently, from the rumors anyway, is a toilet car. So they can inspect the great leader's poop and make sure no foreign spy agencies can see any deficiencies in his defecations.
God forbid.
Well, you know, in a brief tangent, like I was watching one of these YouTube channels about how like people in the Middle Ages lived, and apparently, like, in the old days, knights would have a physician, live-in physician, who would, like, every morning drink their urine to see how they're doing. So this is actually a very, very traditional thing.
All right, well, the post of Kim Jong-un's doctor is now opened up. Yeah.
Why was he executed?
That's a family heritage right there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I knew about the poop thing. I didn't know that there was a car for that purpose.
Yeah. I mean, it makes
sense. There is a car. Yeah, but no, we snapped a quick shot of him driving down the street. We remixed it to some Snoop Dogg and made a great video. And then, we
the next day, we saw Trump.
Trump, right. And we put that over to some Mission Impossible music.
Yeah, Trump's motorcade was far, far more impressive.
Twice or three times
I'm
the size.
Happy to hear that.
Absolutely. That's right. And it was wild, man. The Hanoi, they shut down the routes. Like for miles, so just lined the roads with rope, and it looked like they were getting all these like retired military guys
to come
back to service to lift up the rope to close off all these
Must
lanes.
Have been hundreds of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you say routes, you mean routes or roads?
That's debatable, isn't it? But no, I mean the hotel they met at was in the center of Hanoi, and then their two hotels were in opposite directions. So the amount of street they had to close was absurd.
Yeah.
Oh, so everyone must have been out on the streets, very happy. I'm
they
assuming.
Were, yeah, and it was a great time for Vietnam too. Truly, like a good way to, I don't know, for Vietnam to host a peace summit after the Vietnamese War is. We interview people on the street, and certainly a good change in direction for the Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did the people there think or feel about all of this?
Well, so it was like a mixed bag. Most of the Vietnamese people were pretty pro Trump, pro the peace summit in general. Like we actually went up there to film a video for Fleckus Talks. He's a YouTuber in America that goes to like protests, interviews people. And so most of like the foreign people, there was a lot of like F Trump and all that stuff. But the Vietnamese were pretty pro the whole thing.
We actually found that the majority of foreigners had far worse words to say about Trump than Kim Jong-un, which was a pretty strange thing.
Yeah.
It's like we've got one minute solid interview with this girl where at the start we ask what her opinions of Kim Jong-un are.
He's a pretty cool guy.
He's just trying to do his best. You know, he's working with a difficult situation. Like, he's just trying to organize his people. And then at the end of the interview, Kurt says, well, what do you think about Donald Trump? He's a, bad mouthing to the far extremes.
Oh, my gosh. And I appreciate that you held back from saying those words, because this is a family-friendly, clean show.
Family-friendly.
That's what we figured. Yeah. That's what we figured.
Yeah.
Question, where are the foreigners from? Are these expats or like people on vacation?
It's a mix between the both. Like met a fair, like a few expats that actually live in Hanoi, and then a bunch of just tourists from all over the world, really. Yeah. Most of them didn't even realize it was happening until they got there.
How did you miss that?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of people saying, oh, you know, it was a real inconvenience for me. Loads of the roads were closed. It's like, oh, is that right? Was it hard for you to host this peace summit? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I heard there was a barber giving out Trump and Kim haircuts. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's right. We actually, myself and our cameraman, Tom, I got a Donald Trump and our cameraman got a Kim Jong-un.
Really?
I still have bleached hair right now, actually.
Yeah, and it's pretty funny. I ordered from a Grab delivery driver today, like what do you call it in America?
Food delivery app.
Okay.
And he messaged me. I ordered some rice pancakes, and then he sends me a message. The only thing he says, will Donald Trump be at the house?
Yeah, because he saw me yesterday.
Yeah, he just hoped he'd catch another glimpse of Donald Trump at the house.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild experience, though. We went to, what's the name of the barber's called again?
Luan Duong Hair Academy.
And he made like 700 of these haircuts.
700, and wow. He was offering them free. He was like, anyone comes to my parlor, I'll give you a free Kim or Trump haircut. And yeah, he did like 700 of them. And he got some crazy news coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
ABC Japan was there while we were getting our haircuts.
Yeah, the producer of ABC Japan got a Kim Jong-un haircut while we were there,
So I can picture how you would give somebody a Kim Jong-un haircut. That seems pretty straightforward. But how do you give somebody a Donald Trump haircut?
So they covered my head in blue goop, some sort of bleaching type thing or whatever.
It was blue, though.
It was burning. And yeah.
Definitely and not then, safe.
No, I don't think so. My hair is going to fall out. Just for a mid-level YouTube video, I'm going to go bald at 30.
It was worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it.
Make a good follow-up video, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, go on.
Yeah, just a lot of combing back and forth, really. That was pretty much it. Bleach the hair and comb it back and forth a few times.
Oh, wow.
Lots of hairspray. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. you could have like a side business now. As long as your hair lasts, right?
I think so. I was saying today we should be touring Kurt around the old town of Hoi An, dressed as Donald Trump, just, you know, signing a few autographs, like doing a few speeches.
Probably would work.
You know, there's money to be made, I think.
Yeah.
Always so looking for an angle.
There are pictures and videos of you guys with these haircuts, right?
Yes, on our YouTube channel. Check it out, The Traveling Dukes.
Okay. So definitely everyone listening, go check that out. Your shame, your pride. So,
well, that's exactly right, Chris. I correct myself.
Shame, pride.
Greatest haircut ever.
The biggest.
Biggest and best.
Well, so I got to interrupt this and ask, like, Matt, Shelley, if you had the choice, what would you get, Trump or Kim?
Well.
Deep questions.
No, the answer for me is extremely obvious.
I think the answer is also obvious for me.
I mean, yeah, you could. All right.
For those viewers who know what Shelly and I look like, I'm blonde, so I could really only do a Trump. And
they could dye your hair black. And they could dye your hair blonde.
I think we should both go for Kim, honestly.
You think I should go for Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, although my hair is longer in the front, so maybe I should go for the Trump. And now I'm rethinking this.
Right, but like you get Trump and I'll get Kim Jong Un and I'll dye my hair black and you bleach your hair.
The best part is everyone listening to this now is thinking, what would I do? Would I get a Trump or a Kim? That's a deep question.
Leave your comments below, sort of like Elvis or Beatles kind of thing.
I don't know, but I could have like a real, you know, I could be like the first female Kim Jong Un impersonator.
Epic.
Yeah, you know, it was actually pretty wild. Was there were actually two impersonators. There was a Trump impersonator and a Kim impersonator, and they actually both threw them out of the country actually because they were just attracting too much crowds or whatever, and they had to keep the security locked down in Hanoi. So they're like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
That's when you remember Vietnam is not like Florida.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, it is a communist authoritarian country still.
Which is really crazy to think about. Like, considering all the history, a U.S. president and the leader of North Korea are met in Vietnam to hold a peace talk. Like, that's like if you had told somebody that.
3 years ago.
Even three years ago.
Okay, yes, true.
Yeah. It'd be like.
And one of them. Like, Donald Trump is president?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, to be fair, like if you take a look at Vietnam's economic model, especially after they opened up in the 90s to the West as far as like trade and whatnot, it does sort of seem like a viable solution for Kim if he's going to retain power to get some sort of prosperity to his country anyway.
While still maintaining his
power. Yeah, I mean, Kim definitely
wants to.
He definitely wants to take the China route in that sense. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's what a lot of people on the street were saying, that like maybe Vietnam is a great model of a country that North Korea could become, like an economic model that they could become if they just open up and start trading.
Yeah, so I mean, after living in Vietnam for a few months, it is incredibly freer than China, especially as far as the internet goes. But like, I think there's only two internet sites that I've found are blocked. I found that Radio Free Asia is blocked and the BBC is blocked.
The BBC is blocked?
Yeah, but that's it. So,
I'm sorry you missed out on BBC Pidgin English.
You know, it breaks my heart not to read British propaganda.
No,
British state-run media.
That's right.
Well, I mean, so you definitely, like, you made the comparison between Vietnam and China, and I definitely want to hear about your time in China, but before we get into that, just tell everyone listening, like, what's it like being foreigners in Vietnam? What's your impression of living in Vietnam? Are the banh mi good?
Well, the banh mi are excellent, Chris. Actually, the food in general is just a huge step up. There's good coffee here. There's good bread here without tons of sugar. And everything doesn't have gutter oil on it. So that's
it's really the oil. Like if you're living in China, I feel like the oil genuinely weighs you down. And the Vietnamese
weighs you down in the toilet. Anyway.
I mean, certainly that. But the Vietnamese cooking is so much fresher, way better ingredients.
I was under I was under the impression that they were cutting down on the gutter oil thing. Is that not true?
They are, but if like you're living in a not top tier city and you go to your local shao cow spot or barbecue spot, you're gonna have a rough morning after that.
Rough couple of days. It's not good. Yeah. No, it's not good.
China's a pretty big place. They can cut down on a lot of it, but yeah, it's still pretty rough.
Okay, go ahead.
The main thing I find is just the Vietnamese people have a lot more smiles when you're walking down the street, a lot more welcoming to you. I love the Chinese people, I really do, but we found that there's quite a large amount of Chinese propaganda towards foreigners.
Especially ramping up over the time I was there. I was there for 5 years, and it got worse, especially like after Xi Jinping became an emperor and after the trade war started. It was definitely sort of, you get a lot more stares as a white dude walking down the street.
Yeah. Like, what's a specific example of some of the anti-foreigner propaganda you saw in China?
Well, I mean, you just have to take a look at like the Global Times, our favorite newspaper.
Yours too?
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
But yeah, like talking about, especially like they like to harp on a lot about like. Don't be boyfriends with the Lao Wai, the foreigners, right? Because they might be Chinese spies or whatever. Like, so everyone's looking at you askance and all these type of ways.
And we had not me particularly, but a lot of our friends were very close friends with a student at the local university. Went to a bar one night, got aggressively touched and pushed around by a couple of Chinese people. Knocked him down and then was is still jailed without trial in China.
Wait, your friends? Outside,
one of our friends of a friend. I didn't know him personally, but I know a lot of people that did. And he's been in prison for a year now. And there's CCTV footage of him literally being pushed around. A Chinese person breaks a bottle over his head, then he knocks them all down, but he still gets jailed. And that's some unfair justice right there.
Justice with Chinese characteristics.
That's exactly right, Chris. That's exactly right.
And I have heard stories like that where, a foreigner will be harassed by locals and defend themselves, and then the law comes down much harder on the foreigner.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's widespread.
So why did you decide to leave China?
Well, all right, so... We had been living. I had been living there for 5 years.
Yeah, me three.
Yeah, we were both English teachers in China. And
where were you in China?
We were both based in Guilin.
Yeah, Guangxi province.
Which is actually a lovely place.
Oh, like, beautiful! Yeah.
If you want to go there for a holiday,
one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the place with the crazy mountains, right? With
the Hallelujah Mountains,
like, cast limestone mountains. Yeah, and one of the really not too bad on pollution either. Quite good.
It's been getting worse over
respectively
the 5 years.
To China, quite good.
Yeah.
You can breathe.
Slightly.
Just about.
But yeah, so we wanted to start up all these business ventures, and one of the hardest things is just the internet censorship in China.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I'd been running this WeChat official news account in China for almost 5 years. It was one of the most popular.
I think it was the most at the time.
Right? Yeah, as far as English news goes, anyway. And
so you were just posting like news stories or writing stories? Okay.
Both. Yeah. So in October, there was this giant WeChat purge. I don't know if you guys heard about it.
Uh-huh.
But 5,000 accounts got shut down in October of last year. And So I had been pretty savvy over the past few years. Like, I learned what would and what wouldn't get by the Chinese censors. Yeah. But the AI system learning is just getting better with their security systems. And they went back like through thousands of articles over the 5 years and found one from like 2015. In my naivete, I had posted as a young naive boy,
right,
an article about a Shanghai artist getting arrested for painting a Hitler mustache on Xi Jinping.
Ooh. So, ooh.
I know, no, right?
And so then that got your entire thing tanked?
Well, we actually got lucky. It only tanked us for a month. Like, they had stripped everybody else. But as soon as I saw that, I was just like, I just can't rely on this income anymore. So I had to start up my own things. I can't rely on an income that just any Chinese bureaucrat could just shut down whenever they want, you know?
So were you doing that in addition to teaching English?
Yeah, I was doing both. So I was teaching English full time and I was also running that.
Yeah. And then when we set up a YouTube channel, or at least got my old channel started again, it took like 3 or 4 hours to upload a 5-minute video. It was just completely unfeasible.
ExpressVPN is solid, but
ExpressVPN is good,
but not that good.
Yeah, you could feel just the constriction of the firewall. And every time the Chinese government had their big meeting every year, is it like November or December?
Well, there's two. There's one in like October or November, and one in like March.
Yeah, the two sessions are just happening.
Yeah.
Well, the October November one specifically, while we were there last year, like our VPNs just shut down altogether for like a week or 2 weeks. Like, we just couldn't upload.
Yeah.
So it's just too much.
And I'm hearing off friends right now that during this two sessions, like the AI is just shutting down VPNs like mad right now. Like, they're going into like hyperdrive or something.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Are you guys hearing this clanging sound on your end? Because
yeah, definitely hearing it. Is that
well, like, so I mean, so you know how we have we're extremely professional and we have a very very professional studio.
It sounds like you do from what you just said.
Yeah.
So it turns out that we're in my living room, and I have a radiator because it's cold here in New York. Too.
We're in New York, so it's like a radiator system.
It's freezing out. There's a radiator.
I used to live in
And you know
York,
how it is. They
exactly
just clank.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do. Like, it sounds like someone hitting a ball peen
like
hammer against metal in my living room. But
we've locked somebody up and they're trying to get out. Yeah.
I mean, we had
I swear it's the radiator, Shelley. It's the radiator.
We had our baby cat jumping at the microphone about a minute ago, so don't worry about it.
No, but that's much cuter.
Baby cat.
So you got that in Vietnam?
We did, yes.
We rescued him from a flood, actually.
Yeah, he was
a flood cat.
Found in the Hoi An has absolutely terrible flooding every year. And literally, like, the downtown area of our town is one floor underwater, like, every single year. So, yeah, this cat was found just flailing around in the water and had a terrible case of worms, but we fixed him up. He's all right now.
Yeah.
You guys are heroes.
That sounds adorable.
But also, who builds a city that floods an entire story underwater every year? Like, that seems like a thing that shouldn't be happening.
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's actually pretty good for the farming here.
It is.
Like,
they still
go off like ancient farming techniques based off of flooding patterns, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, like the town here has been under a lot of troubles because they've made a lot of hydroelectric plants nearby and a lot of damming facilities.
Ooh.
And for some reason, I don't really understand tidal whatever, but for some reason about 5 or 6 of the beaches, which is their main source of tourism, have just disappeared under the water over the last year or two. They're in icy territory.
Still got communist central planning.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right. always works.
Yeah, my grandfather's job was to work in a dam on the Yellow River. Yeah, well, this is like pre-Three Gorges days, but like,
wow.
Yeah, just like there was so much damming going on, like even through when Mao was alive.
Yeah.
So they definitely changed the flood patterns of the entire river system.
Yeah. Surely that won't have any long-term consequences.
No, I don't see that. No, I don't see how it could. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the radiator has calmed down.
A little bit. So sorry for everyone listening. Definitely a radiator, not anyone locked in the basement.
It's New York, we don't have basements.
Yeah, we don't have basements.
Just so you specifically clarify that, yeah.
Yes, I mean, you know, that's the other conclusion.
Yeah, specifically, there is not one person locked in our basements.
Right.
I hope the FBI isn't listening. Say, how did you guys meet and like hook up and start working together?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Originally we hated each other.
That's absolutely true.
Same with us.
Nice.
I remember actually the first time I met Kurt was at a bar, and I came home that evening and I was ranting to my flatmate at the time that like I absolutely despise this guy.
Really?
Yeah, we did not get on at all. But then fate and fortune happened to Kurt, and he had a big motorcycle crash. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing turns enemies into friends like a horrible accident.
Let's figure out how those two are related. Yeah.
Let's go into that.
All right. Yeah.
Well, first, why did you hate each other? Like, what was it about?
Oh, Kurt has a great way of. Approaching somebody, challenging him on all of his political beliefs, and then just arguing against every single one of them. So like when I was fresh out of university, I moved straight to China, and then like one of my first evenings, I met this guy, and he started asking me what I thought about American politics, which at the time I knew nothing about. Wow. So I just didn't want any part of it, especially when he was so. I'm going to say passive aggressive towards the subject.
Or drunk, yeah. Whatever.
You can also, the two fall into one, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's hear about your motorcycle crash,
yeah.
All right, yeah, sure. All right, so yeah, about 3.5 years ago, I was driving home on my motorcycle. A pretty solid, bad, can we say ass motorcycle? Yes. I don't know.
We'll allow that.
No, it was a badass motorcycle.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And Chinese roads are quite perilous. I'll let you know. Like, I'm pretty sure Guilin only got street lights about 10 years before I got there. So their driving efficiency wasn't exactly up to par. So I got cut off. And of course, as a foreigner, I don't want to hit anybody because then I'll just be in so much
insane
trouble
debt.
Like, even if it's not my fault, no way am I taking that chance. So
like a person or a car or either
anything.
It was an e-bike. They just jut out right in front of you. They don't look both ways. That's not a thing in China. not in rural China.
Well,
anyway.
Led by the Maoist revolution, they're always looking forward.
That's exactly right. One directional, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but so yeah, I flipped over.
Oh gosh.
Bike was pretty much totaled. I actually walked away from the thing because I don't know, adrenaline or whatever. But the next day, I was with my girlfriend, tried to stand up from a cafe chair, started screaming, and I was rushed to a Chinese hospital in a third tier city.
Oh my god!
This will end well.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a good decision. So yeah, I was in like the emergency waiting room for about 15 hours, screaming.
And they didn't give you any painkillers at all, right?
No, they gave me ibuprofen, because the two doctors that had the key to open up the hard painkiller safe weren't on duty, so I was stuck in this waiting room screaming for about 15 hours.
Oh my god!
The joys of socialist medicine, right?
Well, I was.
Everyone's equally not taken care of.
Exactly. Yeah, and then I spent pretty much a month without being able to walk, stuck in a room with two other dudes. The guy next to me was pretty much almost dying. He was in his 70s. He had a spine problem too, but he was also probably dying of lung cancer or something. Oh. And yeah, I was stuck. He had like a little IE taking care of him.
Like an auntie?
Yeah, it's in Chinese, it's called like an auntie. You have to hire an auntie in a Chinese hospital because they don't give you food in a Chinese hospital. They don't do anything for you. So thank God.
So you have to bring your own nurse, is what you're saying. You have to hire nursing, basically.
Exactly. You have to hire like a little private nurse to take care of you.
Who might not actually have any medical training, I'm guessing.
Not at all.
Yeah, not at all. Okay.
Not at all. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, I was basically just stuck in this place with no TV, no internet, barely any food. And it was probably one of the most transformative experiences in my life, actually. Like, it sounds like a horrible thing, but that time just thinking and sitting there in this weird experience, like, opened up my mind to pretty much everything and really walked away from it a different dude in pretty much every respect.
It literally, yeah. And I remember at the time I hadn't seen Kurt for a couple of months, like he was in this hospital. And I had a girlfriend at the time, and she'd never met Kurt. And I said to her, like, as we were entering this bar, I was like, just a fair warning, this guy's an asshole. he's going to come at you in every way. And then we walk into this bar, and, like, Kurt is, like you said, kind of just a transformed guy. And then we go away from this, and this girlfriend's like, well, why did you say he was an asshole? This guy was delightful. I was like,
I think maybe you're the asshole.
He was different, okay?
Like, I'm not the jerk. I swear, he was the jerk.
Yeah, it definitely made me sound like the jerk.
So, I mean, say what you will about Chinese hospitals, but maybe some weird Chinese traditional voodoo or whatever, actually worked its medicine. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I also, like, flipped off a bicycle once, and, like, those hospitals don't have dissolvable stitches. They don't have non-adhesive dressings, like...
Are they clean?
Meh.
Well, I'm curious. Like, what you say was like transformative. Like, what were you thinking about? Like, tell me more about this. Like, it sounds like a magical experience. It almost makes me want to go to China and flip a bike.
I don't recommend. No,
don't try this at home, kids.
Well, it's like I walked into China basically like an arrogant young 20s, early 20s. Pretty hard left-wing socialist, believing everything like this is great, hardcore atheist. I'm not all the way theist yet, but I'm definitely anti-socialist now. And it was mainly just me sitting there thinking about my surroundings that I knew that I couldn't, like, I couldn't walk at the time, right? So I was sitting there in this, I was laying there in this bed for a month. I couldn't walk, right? And I knew that nobody else could help me walk again except myself. And when you think about, like, it's cliche, but, like, picking yourself up by your bootstraps is the only way you're going to get out of this hell that you're in. It was completely transformative to my whole mindset that I just had to do things for myself and not rely on others. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
There's a real difference. It's like when we moved, eventually made the move from China to Vietnam. And I remember thinking, like, when we first got to Vietnam, exactly a year ago was almost when we met. And I was like, if future self was going to tell me that I was going to move to a country with this guy, get a business, like, start a life pretty much, like, absolutely not. But, you know, things change. Mindsets change, yeah.
That's really an incredible story.
So when did this happen to you?
It was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, still got some back problems, but I'm doing better.
Jeez. Yeah, well, I mean, if you're bedridden for a month, that's got to be tough to even, like, walk again.
Yeah. It was funny. The Chinese doctors were like, you need back surgery. We can't do it here. I'm like, whoa, okay, dude.
So did you go... Did you leave the country to do back surgery?
No.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I hear great things about Korean medicine.
All right. Maybe I'll check it out.
South Korean specifically.
Yeah.
Well, just to be clear.
Yeah. I mean, I know relationships are great right now, but still.
I mean, I'm sure it's got to be pretty cheap to get surgery in North Korea, though. Like, right. I don't know what your outcome is going to be, but it's going to be pretty cheap.
Was it expensive, the hospital in China?
Yeah.
It wasn't as expensive as you would think because they literally didn't do anything for me. Yeah. Like, the most expensive part was probably the ambulance ride. Yeah. That was probably the most expensive. And then basically they just gave me a bed and I paid for some morphine or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really wasn't that expensive, but it's they not, literally didn't do anything.
I had like, I think I was like an x-ray, a couple of stitches, a couple of injections. It was only like $50.
Yeah.
Not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, you get what you pay for, really.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just heard.
Yeah, but on to positive news. We're amazing, and
yeah. Now you're amazing.
Vietnam now.
Doing all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you've got this show, this podcast.
Yeah, so our podcast is pretty cool. We take a lot of influence from you guys. Actually, we're covering like Asian news in general, but we're usually hitting on one messed up thing that's happening in China per week.
There's always a China story. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, it's a big influence. It's a big influence.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of questions from our viewers sometimes about what it's like living in China or should they go to China. But, you know, none of us have been to China, like, in the last decade.
Yeah.
So we don't really – we can't really give them, like, a good view of what it's like for Lao Wais living in China now. Do you have any advice for people who are looking at that?
Specifically, a lot of people think, oh, I'll go to China and teach English.
Yeah, I mean, my advice is, like, you absolutely should do it. China is one of the most interesting places in the world right now to experience, and you certainly should give it a go. Like, I had the most wonderful 3 years teaching at just one primary school in China. I got some bad opinions of the Chinese education system, but other than that, like, I had a wonderful time.
For me, I'd say, like, for a holiday, fine. Like,
you should live there, man. Like, I think you should spend, like, a year there just to experience
it. A year, maybe.
Yeah, you shouldn't spend too long. 3 years was just enough where I was like, oh, I just need to get out right now.
Yeah.
But just enough time, you know. Dip your feet in the water. Like, experience this insane culture that's going on right now. I would recommend definitely living outside of a big city. Guilin is one of the best examples. It's like a small city. It's still like a few million people, right? But it's like you still have the experience of going out into the mountains. Like,
but yeah, so it's a weird thing, right? So it's like you're gonna live in one of the weirdest like totalitarian states on earth.
Right.
But is that necessarily a bad thing? Because it's like, if I had never gone to China, I wouldn't know that China is a weird, messed up place right now, you know?
Right.
So it's like...
So go to experience
you
it.
Could,
like,
you could go there for a year or two maybe, then get out. But at least hopefully you could see how nice you have it. Like, so many people in the West, they think like, oh, our life is so hard. And it's like, go to China, dude. Like, see what it's actually like in a non-liberal democracy.
I think the world might be self-entitled.
Yeah, exactly.
Spend a month in a hospital bed in China.
Pretty yeah, exactly. much, yeah. Then you'll come out a good person, like, guaranteed.
The surefire, that's the best
Child
medicine. Well, so one thing I have heard say is, like, you know, people... Actually, a Chinese professor... Well, a professor who specialized in China told me that, you know, people judge a country based on their hotels. So, like, I feel like there is this situation where, you know, some foreigners will go travel to China.
Shanghai,
Beijing, and like, oh, that's great. China's great. And come out of it not believing that, like, there are serious problems with, you know, one of the most oppressive totalitarian governments in the world.
Right.
Do you think that is a risk, like, for people going to China?
Totally. Like, I mean, like, people who, like, expats in China or whatever, we kind of differentiate ourselves between, like, the people who live in Beijing and Shanghai versus everywhere else.
Shanghai is, like, a completely different place. There's
yeah.
no comparison.
So, like, when I first moved to Guilin, like, 5.5 years ago for a salary of like $1,000 a month, like, and I was put up in a hotel for the first like 2 or 3 days while they found me an apartment or whatever. It was the most disgusting apartment I've ever been in. So
cow.
Well, it was like mold, roaches, everything.
You're killing, like,
I had just gone to China. Like, I'm like telling my family, oh, I'm going to China. It's gonna be amazing. And then I get there, I'm like, what did I do? So yeah, I don't know. It's I think definitely people could fall into that trap if you just go around the Bund in Shanghai, or just go around the nice little areas in Beijing around the Forbidden Palace or whatever, and think it's a wonderful place. Get out there, get out to the real places and see what's actually going on.
Yeah, but even then, like, you got to come outside of the big cities. Like, when I was first traveling, I did the Rough Guide, which is like, yeah, Beijing, Shanghai, Chengdu, Changsha. Like, you don't experience it at all, no.
No.
Very different place.
Yeah. And, well, this is the one advice I'll give anybody is don't go on a Chinese tour, like bus.
100%.
That is horrendous.
Why?
Well, so I went to Beijing with my girlfriend like 3 years ago, and we got on this like little we went on the Chinese app to find the Chinese tour company.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
But it's so cheap, guys, right? It's so cheap.
That's what his girlfriend's telling him. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so cheap.
Save money.
But yeah, so we went to like the Great Wall for like a half an hour. We drove past the Ming tombs. We're like, oh, hey, there's the Ming tombs. Bye. Then they dropped us off outside the Bird's Nest Stadium or whatever. Mm-hmm. After doing, like, they didn't even give us entrance to the Bird's Nest. They were just like, all right, here you are. After, like, going through a silk emporium, a jade emporium, like a specialty foods emporium that's, like, kind of like IKEA. It's like they just walk you through this maze.
Yeah.
So it's like basically they're just it's cheap because you're on this weird guided tour where all the merchants are paid off.
And even like the tourism is so insane. It's like we're in Guilin in the south of China. Like you said, all those karst mountains, and like there's a tourist town close to there called Yangshuo, and this town, it's like you get off the bus in the center of the town, then there's one road that leads down to one bridge that every single Chinese person takes a photo at. Like, if you try and go down this road from the main...
With all their silly funny hats. Yeah, like, they're all color-coded hats just so they can keep track of everybody.
It's so stupid. And, like, if you go down from the main town down to this bridge, you will literally be sat in traffic for about 3 hours just to take the one photo that everybody else has. But Yangshuo, or, like, Guilin, has thousands of mountains. And if you take any one of those paths out to any one of those mountains that isn't that main route, you'll be on your own. Like, you won't be able to hit anything.
Yeah.
Just complete isolation.
So, word to the wise, don't go on a Chinese tour
group.
Just
step off the beaten path. Like,
get a bike.
Go outside of...
or don't get a bike. Get a driver. I don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah, adventure tourism isn't really something that's taken off in China yet. Yeah.
No, it's all those weird tour companies.
And it's like, even in Vietnam, the number one country to come to Hoi An, especially where we're living, the number one country is China. And they say that they don't like Chinese tourism. They'd much prefer foreign tourism because the Chinese literally come to the place, come to their hotel, and then a bus will take them to three locations and three restaurants, and they'll only go there, they'll only spend their money there. And the money isn't evened out. Like, if a foreign person comes here, they spend their money everywhere. But the Chinese just go to, like, a few different places.
On the tour.
Yeah, and it's
stay
it's,
in line.
It's not healthy for the town at all, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, did you get a sense inside of China for how Chinese people today feel about the Communist Party and how the country's being run?
All right, so... This is what you run into all the time. You hear people say, it's not my business. So either they're too afraid to talk about it or they just don't know about it really. But basically it's just none of my business. I mean, as long as the economics are still on the rise, I don't feel like anybody is really gonna get up in arms about anything. As long as they're doing okay economically, people just don't care. It's like people are just looking at their QQ and their WeChat. It's kind of depressing because it's like I want to talk to everybody about, like, isn't this creepy? Isn't this weird what's happening around you? Yeah. But they're like, it's not my business.
Yeah.
Like, just get along, you know?
I once brought out the – I did a local class every week at my school where I taught English to the teachers at the school. And there was one time that I mentioned the social credit system to them. And the general atmosphere was that they thought it was a fun game. They were like, oh, I can compete with my friends. Like, I can have a good time on this. I'm excited for the credit system to come. That's the most insane thing to me. Yeah, that's just insane.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really personally very excited for those 1984 television screens to be in the apartment because it just sounds so exciting being connected and, you know, looked after.
You don't have, it's in your pocket.
Oh, that's right. Exactly, I have an iPhone.
Right. Yeah, I mean, why did Google get rid of their slogan, don't be evil anymore? I mean, it's like, how free is the West anyway from that creepy stuff anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so were Chinese people still, like you were talking about, there's kind of increasing propaganda against foreigners in China. Like, are Chinese people still like interested in talking, or do you feel like they're getting like more like closed off or more kind of careful about what they're saying to people?
Depends the age level. So like the younger generation will definitely be a lot more open to talking to you. You get a lot more of the nasty looks from like the older uncles or whatever,
yeah,
the shoes.
They're also just confused. Like, I swear, like anybody of like the age of 80 in Guilin, they just don't know what's happening to their city anymore. Like, like you said, there were no traffic lights 10 years ago. And suddenly, like, there's thousands of foreigners everywhere just taking photos of them on the street. It's like, what is happening? Like, skyscrapers have just appeared out of nowhere. Like,
but it's sad. I don't know. It's like when you talk to like even the younger people, it's like they get creeped out by saying anything out loud that is slightly controversial. Mm. So, you know.
So no deep conversations about the Tiananmen Square massacre. Yeah.
No, not currently. No.
Although we are planning to go to Hong Kong for the 30th anniversary to film some of the protests and see some of the interviews.
Oh, so, maybe we'll have to talk to you again after that.
Let's hope so.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not sure how that's going to go this year.
We'll see. I mean, of course they're going to try to shut it down. It's like the 30th. It's a big anniversary. But we'll see. We'll see what we can get out of it.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure some street.
Yeah. Like, I imagine, like, if, like, the situation in Hong Kong has definitely been getting worse. But if they, like, try to stop, like the memorial that they always do for the 30th anniversary, I think people would freak out.
Well, it's not just that, but like also it's like it's the same protest that they have for like, because July 1st is when Hong Kong went back to China.
Oh yeah.
So it's like they have you have the June 4th thing, and then just like less than a month later, just is the next big political hot.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. I know we're trying to figure out our plans for how we're going to cover this year. Is a big year for anniversaries. For
any year that ends in 9 is like not great for the Communist Party because
it's the year, the anniversary of the year they cracked down on X.
Like it was like 1959 was when the Dalai Lama fled Tibet.
Right.
So that's happening right now. It's like next week or this week.
Oh
yeah. Then you know, there's 1989, of course, Tiananmen Square. Then 1999 is
Falun Gong,
and then crackdown starts. Then 2000 was it 2009? The Xinjiang.
Oh,
thing
I think that was 2008.
2008 was Tibet. Was 2008 or Xinjiang or 2009? But like, I feel like there's just like all the nines are not good news.
No, really not.
Well,
no.
We're gonna try to monetize.
Although 1949.
I mean, that's basically what we're doing. Oh, 1949.
That was the biggest disaster. Am I right?
That's right.
Exactly.
I mean, talking about nines, last year was the 69th anniversary of the Communist Party, right?
Yeah. So this year is the 70th. Yeah.
69th anniversary. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Immature jokes for expats.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, that's necessary.
Well, this will be the 20th anniversary of Macau being handed over to China, but I guess no one really cares about
Macau.
Nobody
remembers Macau.
That's where you get egg tarts, don't you?
They do have great egg tarts.
I went to Macau. I was always planning to.
They do have great egg tarts.
You should go to get egg tarts. We went to Macau,
or you could go to Portugal, which is where they're from.
Or you could go to Portugal.
Yeah, but if you're gonna be in Hong Kong, you can take the turbo ferry thing, or you can now
we
take
go
the
on
big,
the new bridge,
the
right?
new bridge.
Yeah, yeah, that was not there the last time we were there. Yeah. So,
so we would, we only went to Macau. We just stayed one night, and we didn't.
We didn't actually see the casinos.
Yeah, we really wanted to, but we were staying in like the older part of Macau, and so we had egg tarts, but that was. That was kind of the extent of what we had time for. We had to rush
egg
back to Hong Kong for an
interview.
Sweet,
dude. They are. They are pretty sweet.
I do have to say that Macau is different than Hong Kong in the fact that, like, Hong Kong, it doesn't really feel like a European city. And there is, like, a particular street in Macau that you walk down and you could be in Portugal at that moment.
Like, old time.
Which is really
Portugal.
Cool. And then, like, right, like, one block over, suddenly you've got, like, it's totally Asian butcher shops again. But there is like a portion of Macau that still feels very colonial.
Yeah, Hong Kong always seemed cool to me. It seemed like the closest thing to like New York City to me, just like wild and like up out of nothing, you know, just like giant buildings on a rock.
Yeah, it's a fun city. Yeah. Have you guys been to Hong Kong?
A ton. So we had to do visa border runs, man.
What's that for people?
Don't tell you the Chinese, but Kurt was an illegal teacher in China for over a year.
Yeah, I was an illegal immigrant for a while.
Yeah, so you have to do border runs every like
2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because they like a year and a half ago they changed all their visa laws, so they demanded all Americans go back to America to get a new police report and visit the Chinese embassy in your home country. And my teacher was like, my boss was like, just get a visa in Hong Kong.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Chabudo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, they implemented a lot of laws that year, right? Like,
A lot of people got thrown out of Guilin, actually. Yeah. I was lucky not to get caught, actually.
There was a new law that anybody that had English as a second language or was from a country with English as their second language was no longer allowed to teach. And we had friends. There was like one of our friends was from Bulgaria, and she taught in China for 9 years, far more experience than any one of us. And she was just kicked out automatically because she didn't have English as a first language.
Yeah, it all changed about a year and a half ago. Yeah. Wow. Really started cracking down on that.
Well, why do you? What was behind that? Do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was during the whole like lead up to the trade war and stuff. Like, as soon as you see any sort of tension between China and the West. It immediately starts trickling down on the foreigners living in China.
I thought it might be because, like, if English is your second language, you don't have, like, one of the correct accents, so you're not
Well, that's certainly
properly.
True, too. That's certainly true,
Yeah,
too.
There's a lot of rules. A lot of schools pay more for an American than a British person. So, like, Kurt's American.
We do
I'm
have
British,
the correct accents on.
I don't
this
think
so. This is actually right. So are there going to be a bunch of Chinese kids now that speak like you? With that lovely,
I hope so. They're leading the generation.
Actually, when my parents learned English in China in the 80s, it was British English.
Yeah, most school books are still like textbooks are still in British English. Actually, yeah.
And, like they spell color wrong.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. It was painful to say zebra in the classroom.
Instead of zebra.
A zebra.
I learned that when I lived in London because
wait, that's a real thing?
Zebra, yeah.
What? That's disgusting.
Because you say Z instead of Z.
I was making a stupid joke, but that's really how
zebra.
No wonder you lost the empire.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. I had to relearn how to spell my name because my last name starts with a Z, so like everywhere I had to like remember to say Z, otherwise people would just get confused.
How would you say your name? With Z.
I just spell it Z-H-A-N-G.
Oh, but it still would be Zhang.
Yeah, well, I... Zhang, like Zhang. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever the white people can understand.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Zebra, that's awful. Zebra. Color with a U.
All right. I mean,
aluminium.
Like, for the record, to be clear, I now say zebra, so Americans win.
We always do against you guys, no offense.
Large portion of people that talk to me, they say, oh, so you're American? No, I just hang out with a lot of Americans. That's my if I spend one night with my grandma, like my British accent just comes straight out again.
Well, believe me, you didn't fool me for a second.
That's great. That's good to hear.
Do the expats, like, do you, if you meet another British person in Guilin, are you automatically friends?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I try and keep them very close. There's not many of us. We have to stick together. That's absolutely right.
What about Americans, Kurt?
I don't really care. Like, I'll talk to anybody. Like, whatever. I keep my friends limited anyway. Like, whatever.
Well, so what's next for you guys? What do you hope the future brings for what?
So next up is we're going to be shooting some videos around Vietnam for the next few weeks, and then we're going off to merry old England, actually.
That's right.
To cover up, hopefully,
to learn some proper English.
That's right. But also to cover hopefully what's going on with Brexit at the time.
Right. Our leave date is the 30th of March, yeah. And we have absolutely no plan. So it's going to make for some interesting news, I think.
Yeah.
Nice. You can get some fish and chips. Why Brexit, though?
What do you mean, why Brexit?
Well, like, I mean, you've been focusing on, like, China and Vietnam. Why
or Asia.
It's basically because Simon's going back for a couple of weddings, and it happens to coincide with Brexit. So we're like, all right, let's cover another major world event.
Absolutely.
Knock it out.
So. It's always great when you can, like, you know, do business on a personal trip.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Cool. Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
I do want to ask if you have a favorite story from China.
Ooh, interesting.
A lot of stories.
Favorite stories are PG-13.
Yeah. Or self-incriminating.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Two good things to keep in mind.
Yeah. Let's see. I have some pretty weird, outlandish stories, but I don't know if I could tell them.
We can always cut it.
All right. Well, I'll see what you guys think. Let's see. I once was flown up to Beijing to meet with members of the People's Liberation Army. In some weird Beijing hotel.
I think this is like a separate podcast on its own.
I was contacted by a friend of mine, one of my oldest, like, longest Chinese friends, and he was like, "Dude, come here. We gotta go to Beijing like tonight." I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" Like, he's just some silly guy, and he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna go meet with the army. We're gonna." And I'm like, whoa, okay. And it turned out to be like this giant like money laundering scheme for One Belt, One Road.
What?
So they wanted to transfer like millions of dollars through a foreigner's account to transfer it to people in Thailand.
And your friend was like, "I know just the foreigner who could help you out."
Exactly. This is pre-motorcycle crash, by the way.
Crash, just to put the timeline in perspective.
Okay. You were a different person back then.
Right.
Yeah, so I got up there. They had me call some dude in Istanbul. But apparently my bank card wouldn't work out. They needed Europeans. It wasn't working out. And so I recruited one of my European friends. He came up. And it was basically just a whole long tag-along thing. We don't really know what's up. But apparently he was like a CEO of like a Thai tree company for a few days.
Wow.
But we didn't walk away with any money.
So if the massive corruption scheme is run by the People's Liberation Army, does that make it legit?
Well, I mean, it's got to be legal in China, right? Like, that's what I was thinking at the time.
Child,
like,
the door.
It's the government, right?
Oh my God!
Well, the party at least.
That's so crazy. Like, we're just all—we have like our mouths are hanging open.
Yeah,
like, yeah. That's actually where I got the whole idea from for selling our tea. Because I was like, okay, I'm going to get millions of dollars. I need a way to get it out of China because there's like a $50,000 limit on it. So I'm like, all right, we could smuggle gold to Hong Kong, set up a business selling Chinese stuff out of the country. And so that's kind of where the Traveling Dukes came from.
Well,
origin story.
I was going to tell a story about almost being arrested while skinny dipping, but I feel like that trumps it in almost every single way at this point.
Yeah.
Wow, skinny dipping? No way. That's crazy.
You don't say. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So, there you go, guys.
Wow. I just want... I just need to check. Matt has sort of a better idea of laws than any of us. Like, this isn't, like, if, that's not going to get him trouble, like, him telling that story, right?
He didn't do it.
If you didn't do it, and also if you were coerced by the Chinese military, I would say that you're not really responsible, but...
Okay, I get there.
I do think that, like... You kind of maybe dodged a bullet on that one, honestly.
Yeah.
I hear this story. I probably hear the story for the 80th time. I'm still getting cold sweats thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, really did
that could have gone so wrong.
Yeah.
A few years ago, the FBI had arrested this guy, Glenn Duffy, who was an American citizen who was like studying in China, and then got kind of recruited by the Chinese, like the MSS. He was supposed to come back and like try to get a job at the CIA, and it was like they actually made a very bad FBI movie about it. Like the FBI has a movie division, and they made this like warning movie about like don't get recruited in China, you know. And then they had like shots of him like taping thousands of dollars to his body.
Jesus.
To like smuggle it into America, like on the plane and stuff like that. So I'm saying you may have dodged a bullet.
Or
I'm still broke, but I'll take my freedom over the millions of dirty Chinese dollars.
I don't know. The FBI might have made a cool movie about you.
Well, but you also would have had to be in that movie as a testimony at the end, speaking from your jail cell to, like, warn the kids, you know.
Well, I'm sitting in a lovely Vietnamese house right now, so I think I'm all right.
It's all right.
With a rescue cat.
Yeah.
And a good friend who used to hate you.
Life
it
is
It all worked
funny.
Out, right? It's nice having
It all
ending.
Worked. Yeah.
Why did you guys pick Hoan?
I came here last year on a vacation, and I traveled up and down Vietnam, and this is just one of the most like beautiful places in the world. Like, we're literally like walking distance from one of the nicest beaches in the world. Great, the best food in Vietnam that I found, and no pollution. So it's just an amazing spot.
I just trusted his word.
None of them else. I told two guys like, come on to me with Vietnam.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That's another one of those things that, like, if the future you told the past you, it's not possible. I think that was great. I think that covers pretty much everything.
Cool. Much more than what we expected,
much
it turns
more.
Out.
I mean, skinny
the
dipping,
traveling
my gosh.
Dukes.
Wait, where did the Traveling Dukes name come from?
It was me and my European friend that were coming up just with stupid names. We were like, all right, we're going to be travelers. I'd gonna sound elegant. I don't know.
I had a big issue with it at first because the British spelled traveling with two L's, so I was like, "There's gonna be some real confusion." So as a middle ground, we got the Gmail for both traveling with one and two L's, and the URL for traveling.
But
with
I wasn't
two
having
L's.
Any of that. It's one L. It's
I
one
mean,
L.
come on, you gotta respect the British fan base.
Nah,
you just
really.
Have too many extra letters in British English.
Yeah, right.
Extra
it's
U's,
messy, right?
Extra L's.
Takes
it's
too
not
much
necessary.
Time.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, if somebody wanted to know more about you guys or what you're doing, where should they go?
All right. So you could follow us on YouTube, The Traveling Dukes.
Or Facebook.
Our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, The Traveling Dukes, and we also host a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Traveling Dukes Podcast. We cover like a few different topics from Asia every single week. Trying to emulate you guys a little bit with a little bit of a broader scope.
Yeah, we've watched Chris's tutorial videos on how to make a good video.
We love everything you guys do.
Yeah,
so,
wait,
big fans. So,
I don't actually have tutorial videos, do I?
No, I didn't think. I didn't recognize that at all, to be honest.
I thought you did like a video, like how to...
That's probably some other famous person.
I mean, sure. We still watch you guys.
Matt actually has a video.
Yeah.
Matt has a video of how to do videos.
I messed up the ending.
Unfortunately. Now we have to, like, because of technological limitations, we have to delete the entire podcast. So I know.
One hour long.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try.
No. Oh, boy. But no, I think it would be very interesting to talk to you guys after you go to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Or in the off chance that we end up in Hong Kong at that time, it'd be great to meet you in person.
For sure.
I was actually thinking we should go to Hong Kong, guys.
Could be.
Yeah, and see if we get actually blocked from entering the region. Yeah.
I think we're still
are we famous enough to be blocked, which is good, or are we so under the radar that they don't care, and that's also good?
You and I go in first, and then we send Chris separately. So if Chris gets blocked, at least we've made it in.
I mean, we've always had this question, like, have you guys ever had border problems going into China? Have you ever tried that? Because we always thought, like, maybe your entire team is just blocked from any visa application to China.
To be honest, none of us have tried since we started.
I haven't gone to mainland since 2002.
Yeah, so we haven't tried since we started doing China news and human rights coverage. Yeah.
But Hong Kong 2016 was the most recent time. And that was before Hong Kong started blocking people like
Benedict
Rogers and the Financial Times guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all recent. So we don't think so. We've never really gotten in trouble for it, but who knows? Yeah, I mean, I'd love to go back. I really miss China, last time I went back, I still had Chinese citizenship, so I had a completely different passport, but I don't know. I'm not sure I'm willing to try right now.
Well, let's see after this podcast if we're allowed to Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's it. If we get banned as well, let's
Well, if we both make it there, I know this great place that has sort of this like macaroni and cheese with sliced pig cheek place.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Now that's the dope stuff with the Campbell's tomato soup or whatever, right?
I don't remember soup, but
okay, whatever.
Well, you had me at pig cheek. Yeah,
it's the tenderest part of the pig.
Oh,
yeah. So you know, I really hope you guys get your tea site back up because you know.
Yeah, Chris wants tea.
I do want
tea. A couple of weeks, we'll hook you up.
Okay. I remember Luohan Guo tea as like stuff you would drink in China, like for like sore throats and colds and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's wonderfully medicinal. Yeah.
Yeah, your website for that stuff was great. It really like it. The pictures of the tea, it was good. Well done.
Yeah,
Chris is a tea person.
Shut down by a linen industry.
Chris is a tea person, so you know.
I am a tea person.
Well, we'll definitely send you some for free, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. Or is that like some kind of weird conflict of interest that we shouldn't be doing?
The only reason we had you on the podcast
is to get some free tea. All right.
Well, I'll charge you full.
Oh, damn it.
We have our integrity, Chris.
Yeah, but we don't have tea.
Or money.
Or money. We're in a living room. I'm glad the radiator stopped making noise. All right. Well, thank you guys. It was really a pleasure to have you on. Like that was super cool.
Oh, thank you so much, man. It's so surreal talking to you, man. We've watched so many of your videos.
Honestly, yeah.
I'm
especially the tutorial video. I don't know where I pulled that from. I swear there was Chris made a video where it was like tips
stop
on
talking
me.
About
no,
it.
No. Like I want to hear what this is.
I swear that exists.
Top tips on what?
Like making a news video, I swear that exists. Like,
ooh.
I'm gonna start searching.
Right. If you can find that,
maybe you should make that video.
I should make that video.
And then Simon, you'll be confused because you will think that you had watched it already, but it won't have been made until after you said that.
I mean,
we said we're time travelers.
Yeah, we did say we're time travelers, so it all works out.
That exists in the narrative.
The timeline will work out in post.
I see. Right. This is like one of those Mandela effect CERN reality is being punctured.
Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for having us, honestly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. Be sure to check out the Traveling Dukes, and I know all of you will be getting some of that delicious tea once they have that back up. So thanks for listening. I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley John.
And I'm Matt Ganesda.
And don't forget to leave those reviews and those stars. Talk
all
to you
the
next
stars.
All the stars.
On iTunes.
On iTunes. Stitcher doesn't have that, do they?
Who uses Stitcher?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, bye.